Are you ready to explore living life with greater ease, more joy, and doing what you love to do? Imagine That Coaching can help you discover possibilities, direct connect you to your personal passions. Visit www.dianesturner.com or call 847-824-6949. Imagine That Coaching, connecting person to passion. 847-824-6949. Toll free, 866-398-8877.
Well, good morning again here on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure in studio with my broadcast partner, Diane Turner from Imagine That Coaching. How are you today, Diane?
I'm well, Zara. Thank you. It's so good to be here.
You bet, as always. Well, let me take a quick departure to set this one up. You know, one of my most favorite movies is The Incredibles. You know, the story of superheroes.
Yes.
And of course, the best line in it is when Mr. Incredible is getting outfitted with a new, you know, super
suit.
And Edna Mode, the fashion designer, says, yada, 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 but no capes. You know, this idea of the ego, but no cape, because capes get you in trouble.
Oh, God.
Of course, the topic you wanted to kick off today was this idea of becoming the hero in our own stories.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I thought about this. It was actually something I read in a magazine, and I thought, God, that would be a really interesting thing just to explore, because we live in a world where we're very hero focused. We're almost always looking for a hero, somebody we can look up to or give praise to, or in some way set apart from the rest of us. And I think that gives us hope that somehow bravery and courage and those old fashioned values that we grew up with are still alive and well.
The key distinction I make, though, is, and you're talking about something, though, that's even further above a role model.
Yes.
I mean, truly someone that's done extraordinary things, whether it be deal with a precarious situation that rescues someone else or takes a bold stand. Is that right?
Well, the interesting thing is I think, and I've never interviewed heroes, but I think it would be a very interesting study. My guess is that if you interviewed them, they would say, I didn't do anything extraordinary.
Precisely. That's exactly
I didn't do anything that you wouldn't do or somebody else wouldn't do. So there's no real recognition that somehow they are above anybody else or different from anyone else. So for them, it's not about the ego at all.
Correct.
It was just, this is what has to be done. And I jumped in and didn't give it a second thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes, you know, if you've seen on the news or whatever, people are getting medals or they're getting praised for this or that of some action that they took. They're almost embarrassed.
Exactly.
Like they just don't even look like they belong there, because for them, this was business as usual in to some degree. Obviously, those opportunities don't come up all the time. But when I thought about this, becoming the hero in our own story, how much of the time do we diminish ourselves and put ourselves down in our own story of ourselves? So what I was thinking about relative to the story is, do we really claim our own ability to be the hero in our own story?
As opposed to say, I just got lucky.
Exactly.
Or you could have done better if you had done
exactly.
It.
Exactly. There's so many ways, and we've talked about this, so many ways that we diminish ourselves, or we put ourselves down, or we make ourselves smaller. And so the question is there any part of you or us that could actually align with the bigness of who we are, the expansiveness of who we are, without getting into the ego of it, without losing our sense of humility or our sense of grounding, I suppose.
Well, and part of that, you know, for those of us that are solopreneurs like you and I are, and that our business is constantly moving and shifting, and certainly you've been in the practice a long time, so you have a constant flow of some clients who are coming back to you repeatedly.
Yes.
I'm a little bit earlier in that startup phase, albeit about 5 years now, but still there's this constant hunger I try to almost healthily maintain to say, not that I'm totally unemployed, but always looking for the next big what's next.
Yes.
And one of those elements is just to be open to and saying to the universe, expand my territory.
Yes.
I'm ready. And I'm ready for something big. And I think what I hear you saying is the more I could at the same time reinforce myself and I'm worthy of something
yes.
big.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
It is what I'm saying. And just as you said that, I'm thinking, okay, a little piece of self-disclosure here and a little honesty. And that is, as I'm getting ready to launch this next part of my career, meaning more visibility, a book that's going to be very vulnerable, make me feel a little vulnerable, put my story out there, I am claiming myself in a very different way. And it's exciting and also a little terrifying. So, and not so much because I'm afraid of the rejection. I know it's not going to be for everyone. I think it's more, how about, what's life going to look like once that's out there? Because you can't take it back. So,
in fact, we have the opportunity to interview so many talented authors
yes.
on this show who are giving of their work. And that is one of the questions I always find interesting when I ask them. You know, it's one thing to have gone through the pregnancy of writing the book, publishing it,
yes.
getting it illustrated, like
yes.
you're in the process of doing, of
yes.
course. But then once the child is born,
right.
you not only don't know fully what life the child's going to take on, but you don't know what your life is going to become as the parent.
Exactly. And so the question that I am struck by relative to this conversation is, what would it mean for me to be the hero in my own story? What would that take? And am I actually lined up for that?
Mm-hmm.
So am I acting with integrity? Am I being accountable for the skill set that I have and for the years of experience that I have and for the validity of my story? Because it really is just my story. I have no pretense about other people not having their own stories. I think it really, though, is a part of claiming ourselves as we move through life. We have these opportunities to do that. And so, in a sense, that's really more of what I'm talking about, is claiming that this is a way of showing the world our specialness or how mm-hmm. extraordinary we might be. And how many times I have clients or people who are more towards the end of their life where they want to know that they left something behind. They left sure, a part obviously. Of themselves and their life was worth something. So I'm using this term hero in a very loose way. Mainly it's about, do you claim who you are and what your skill set is and what your strengths are? And are you willing to really broker that in the world?
Well, for certain, you know, part of my business model, of course, is to help people that are in the midst of career transitions.
Yes.
So even something as what might appear to be a rather clinical exercise, which is writing your resume.
Yes.
That actually, that is a huge journey for some folks.
Yes.
To be able to portray not just what they've done, but who they are.
Yes.
Or who they want to be in the context of their work. And that's not an easy exercise for a lot of folks. Like you say, the first tendency is to go and pull out all the HR position descriptions that they'd had.
Right.
Or, in fact, if they'd been with the same company or the same industry for multiple years, that's all they have that they, quote, call a resume.
Yes.
But when you start teasing them forward to say, no, this is about claiming, as you call it, I like that word, your contributions,
mm-hmm.
and putting it in the context of scale and scope.
Yes.
Now, there comes a challenge, though, to the idea of being a hero. Someone will say, well, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, sorry, I've only managed 20 people, not 200 people.
Yes.
I said, that might be, but the skills that you have demonstrated, and oh, by the way, if in the course of those 20 people, two of them were people who you coached in a way that they completely turned around their attitude about their work, et cetera, that applies equally in multiple frontiers.
I wonder, and I'm going to ask this as a question because I don't have an answer for it, but I wonder if when people put themselves out there and really claim who they are, I wonder if there's some fear that somehow they're going to be held to a certain standard forever. You know, that's it.
That's
like,
it.
Once I've stepped into this territory, I can't go back, and people are going to be watching me, and I'm going to be judged for this and all that stuff. When really, that has much more to do with ourselves than it does with a real experience. I mean, if you get a promotion at work, for instance, because you're deserving of that promotion, and you really know that you're deserving, and you know with confidence that you can learn the skill set that you need. Don't always even have to come in with a skill set, but mm-hmm. you can learn it. Sometimes people avoid that because they're afraid that it obligates them somehow to be that way going forward, as opposed to...
And in fact, even be that way for the next level. In fact,
yes.
what you see is individuals, we've talked about this in another segment, that they're running from success.
Yes.
They're afraid of success.
Right.
In fact, my supposition is actually more people are afraid of success than they are of failure.
I think you're right. I have found because that with my clients, absolutely.
This idea of, well, if I really say what I say I want, then that means even more responsibility or even a need to be even more vulnerable to not knowing what the next set of challenges or the how-tos or whatever will be.
Well, you know, one thing that's interesting about this concept of being a hero in our own story is it's not something you decide. It's not a head thing. It's really, it's not like you set out to be a hero. That's not how it works. It's really living your life in a way that feels so in balance and so in sync with the core of who you are that it just feels natural. There's just a lot of flow. And so you're not doing it to get something. You're living that way because that's what feels the best to you. And you're not dimming your own bulb, so to speak, or making yourself small. And those can be challenges along the way. I mean, I think we all have opportunities or circumstances that present themselves. Well, we have to make a choice. Are we going to respond to this in a way that we bring all of ourselves to the table? Or are we going to respond with parts of ourselves because we're too afraid to bring the rest? So I think that's part of being a hero in your own story is it's not a thinking thing. It's really lining up with the core of who you are.
Wouldn't you say, though, in the process of doing that, though, also giving yourself the opportunity to take a break, take pause, reflect, and then congratulate yourself for a job well done.
I'm big on self-acknowledgement.
You know, I mean, we're in the season of the Olympics,
yes.
And there's nothing like watching at the end of one of the events
yes.
when finally they take a break,
yes.
and the athletes barely have their sweats back on,
yep.
and there they are acknowledging the various levels of medals and standing on the podium with one another, even the various competitors you've had. There's this nice sense of closure, but yet at the same time opening to the next event.
Yes.
And I don't know that we really do enough of that. Just as much as we might diminish, it wasn't such a big deal.
Right.
Even if it was a big deal, do we then go get ourselves the trophy, whatever that might symbolically be, even
right.
if it's a 10-minute break to go have a coffee,
right.
you know, or take a nap.
Right. And I think as human beings, we are always sensitive to acknowledgement. I think whether we claim it or not, it always feels, feels better to be acknowledged than to be ignored or to be overlooked or to be shortchanged in some way. And I often will encourage my clients to very purposefully acknowledge themselves at the end of every day, just mm-hmm. as a ritual for themselves, because they can say to themselves, okay, good day today. Or maybe not my best day, but I'm okay, and tomorrow's another one. Just to give themselves that pause that comes with acknowledgement, you're absolutely right about that.
Well, and those of our listeners, who, of course, who are leading organizations know the traps we fall in being so much stuck in the busyness that we overlook just the simple thank yous or great job to
right.
the people that work for us.
Right.
And how just that simple note, or in this day and age, an email, a text,
mm-hmm.
whatever,
mm-hmm.
Means the world to employees.
Absolutely.
You know, and particularly if your culture so supports you're doing that two or three levels below or across in another department,
yes.
that those kind of acknowledgments carry so much more weight with people than sometimes even the annual increase they get recognized at the end of the year.
I think all of that is very important, and I can't stress enough the importance of self-acknowledgement as well, because I know so many people who live outside in, so they're always mm-hmm. looking for
somebody
that acknowledgement,
else, right.
looking to validate themselves because of what somebody thinks of them or says to them. So it isn't about living your life to get something. It is about living your life because that's what feels right to you. That is about living in integrity, living with the person, the best person that you feel you can be. And oftentimes that will yield a lot of acknowledgement. That's not the reason to make those decisions. That's the one of the outcomes.
That's right. For those of you who just turned in, we're speaking with Diane Turner from Imagine That Coaching. She has practice here in Tucson as well as operates out of Chicago and has clients from all around the country, as a matter of fact. Diane, the idea of self-acknowledgement, though, if you've been brought up or worked environments where that doesn't happen.
Yes.
It's really hard to authentically do that for yourself.
It is. It is hard.
Particularly if you have a family script.
Yes.
Or, you know, where you were in the, you know, chain of command within all the siblings. You could be the middle child, the invisible child, whatever, or
yes.
the firstborn who's already off on two other things anyways, and acknowledge them after the fact could be looked like, well, why didn't you do that yesterday? I mean,
right.
whatever the dynamic
right.
are.
And I wonder if that whole idea of self-acknowledgement isn't part of our current culture that didn't exist post-World War II. I mean, I don't know about you, but in my family, you just didn't, it was braggy. You know, you just did not say anything positive about yourself. That was for other people to do. And I have so many clients who have said to me and feel so sad about the fact that they never heard from their parents about their achievements or that they were proud of them or they loved them or any of that. And the parents might have said it to other people in the community
Absolutely.
Or whatever, but never directly. And so it's a little bit of a practice to begin to entertain the possibility that you could actually acknowledge yourself for a job well done or for who you are. And so you just have to start small and recognize when you feel uncomfortable about that. That also says something to the world at large, and a lot of times it has to do with difficulty receiving. So when you're not so open to getting kudos or praise, you know, your response when somebody says, oh, great job, it's going to be, oh, it was no big deal. You know, you're going to diminish yourself. That's when that happens.
And by the way, you're also diminishing the other person.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I know someone who, indeed, that very dynamic. I went out of my way to compliment the person, mm-hmm. even wrote them a note, and it didn't come back. But 6 months later, and they basically said, A, you do that for everybody.
Right.
It wasn't that big of a deal. And then actually, you make more of everything anyway. So here was a well intention of my wanting to compliment and support them. And turned away, so diminishing me, and it put me in a place of anger.
Right. Right. And hurt, by the way.
Yes.
Because that
hurt.
It really puts you in this place of, one of the greatest gifts that we can give to someone else is to be open to receiving
Being
what they have to offer.
Oh, yes.
Okay. My teacher taught me that a long time ago. And that's not always something we're so conscious of, whether we're open to receiving or not. And sometimes it happens in different ways, at different levels. However, you know when you're with someone who is blocked to receiving, because they will do so many pushaways and they will make it so difficult for you to make an impact, to connect with them. And so, you know, going back to this topic of being a hero in your own story, it is a story of connection. You know, you are connecting with something deep inside of you that is motivating and inspiring you to behave in a certain way. And that's really what you're putting out into the world. And so people want to connect, but sometimes it's so false because they're putting the person in a category that really doesn't necessarily mean anything to the person who behaved in that way.
Well, the other thing I think you're also sensitizing us to is that this idea of connection, though, still takes two people to do the tango. And if the other person is not ready or interested or even capable of receiving from you,
yes.
the last thing you want to do is turn around, though, and slam yourself for it.
Yes,
correct?
Exactly.
So you try to find an outlet or try to get a sense of the waters as to whether or not you can do that.
And I also think there's a piece in this having to do with self-acceptance, with being in acceptance of who you are as a person. I know for myself, I am an optimist, eternally an optimist, and yet there are people in my life who are so pessimistic, they really can only see glass as half empty. And a long time ago, I realized that I would try to convince them that it wasn't, that it, well, how could they not see this? And they're, what about this? And what about that? But you know what? They really are very invested in maintaining their point of view. And who am I to say, you have to see it my way? What it did, though, is it really enlightened me to the fact that this is who I am, and I don't have to give that up either. So that's not something that's a trade-off for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not trading off my light for your darkness or my optimism for your pessimism. We can coexist.
I like that. You know, one of the challenges, though, and what this whole dialogue is bringing to mind for me is many of us, of course, are in that season of bigger life where we have caregiving for our parents.
Yes.
So we're learning or trying to learn how to parent our parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather deal with my newborn puppy, by the way. that's easier. You know, at least I can
yes,
get her outside
anyway.
When I need to.
Yes.
But no, seriously, the challenge comes from this whole idea, and I think we'd go back to that, that C word, mm-hmm. and that meaning the word control.
Yes.
And with those who are old, the elderly, who are in a different season of their life, who, in particular, I'm watching some around me that are expert at pushing back on people trying to help.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Wanting to maintain as much independence as they possibly can, even in situations where it's not rational.
Yes.
That it's very hard to not come back and judge ourselves as not being and doing or being prepared to do the right thing.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I think, apropos of this topic, I think that the solution to that, what you have to acknowledge yourself for, is, you know, you can only do it the way that you do it. And so if you behave in a way that feels right to you, even if it's not responded to in that way, then there won't be a regret there. I mean, you can't force a person to do what you see is better for them. And oftentimes, as our parents age, their sense of potency in the world is diminishing, and they're holding on to every shred of dignity that they can. And as good children and very thoughtful caregivers, we want that to be part of their lives. And yet, I know with my own mother, as she was declining, there were times when it scared me to death, some of the things that she wanted to continue to do, or it felt to me like life could be so much easier for her, but she wasn't having any of it. Mm-hmm. And so I really had to learn to be respectful that that was her way. And, you know, I wanted her to be respectful of my way. So we just agreed to disagree, or we agreed to see it differently.
Yeah, that's interesting way to put it. There's no owner's manual to any of this.
There is not.
And just as much as we've kind of wrapped around the subject, being the hero in your own story,
yes.
is just that. It's about your story,
right.
not about the other person's story, that you really aren't entitled to help them write, even,
that's
let
exactly
alone be
right.
in it.
That's exactly right. And so you get to determine how involved you are, what your involvement looks like, what the engagement is like. And again, it's that giving and receiving thing, that connection that you have both within yourself, where you say, okay, well, I wouldn't feel right if I didn't say this, or I didn't offer this, or I didn't try this. And then you have to let go of the outcome, because it really, think about it, when somebody jumps onto a train track to save somebody who's in danger, they're not really thinking about the outcome. They're thinking about, okay, there's a situation here and I need to respond immediately, and there's no thinking involved. It is completely a gut response. And so they're not thinking, well, this person really wanted to off themselves somehow, or they're in big trouble, or they aren't going to be happy about this. They're just thinking, I couldn't live with myself if I didn't do that. And that's really what we're up against in terms of our work, in terms of our parents, in terms of our children. What can you live with? You know, what is it that you believe in so strongly that you think, I couldn't do it any other way? No regrets.
The challenge is, if you're one that does like to step in and be a problem solver and a resolver,
yes.
or like in your case, being a coach as well as a counselor,
yes.
and a psychotherapist,
right.
which goes very deeply into very sensitive areas,
yes.
that our listeners should absolutely make sure they have a qualified individual that's schooled in the ins and outs to do that. That nonetheless, you don't necessarily go knock on the door and say, would you like to hear my thought on this? We just kind of blurt it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know that's been my case. And in the work environment, that isn't always welcome. So
right.
I think also at the same time of this self-awareness,
yes.
and heightened about the hero, also understanding the environment that you're in and the social consciousness, shall we say.
Yes, and it isn't about imposing yourself on anyone.
Right.
It really
often.
Is about leaving room for both parties, yourself and whoever else is involved. And that's part of living in integrity. You know, when we live in integrity, there's room for everybody. It's not about our way or the highway. And so I think that's a big difference in terms of being a hero in your own story versus being the hero in someone else's story.
You got it very well. Well, incredible, Diane. Thank you. I'm going to give you my cape. We can do that.
I have several on my wall.
There you go. For our listeners, they can get a hold of Diane at DianeSTurner.com.
Right.
As well as ImagineThatCoaching@gmail.com, and also toll-free 866-398-8877. Look forward to watching you as you repatriate this fall in Tucson with workshops coming up.
Oh,
and, of
yeah.
course,
can't wait.
Opportunity to debut your book at some point in time.
Thank you. It's hard as
wisdom.
Always.
Take care.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.